October 29th, 2013 on The Digital Story. New workshops for the coming year. On the Nimbelocity Report, has the Canon G-Series run its course? And from the Photo Help Desk, which new MacBook Pro laptop is best for photographers? All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have three wildly interesting topics for you today. In the first segment, we're going to talk about workshops, and I have three brand new ones for the 2014 season. I'm dying to share them with you. Then in the second segment, the Nimbelocity Report, I'm going to talk about the Canon G16, which is the latest Canon in the long and legendary G-series of digital cameras. Talk about it a bit, compare it to the Fuji X20, which is a competitor, and then really answer the question, has the G-series sort of run its course? Is it a little too long in the tooth compared to the other cameras that are being offered in a similar weight and size? So we'll tackle that in the Nimbelocity Report today. And then in the third and final segment, on Photo Help Desk, there have been some new MacBook Pros announced, and the Retina display now comes to the 13-inch model. And I'm getting a lot of questions on Photo Help Desk related to that. And the bottom line is, which new MacBook Pro is best for photographers? So we'll talk a bit about that too. I told you, very interesting stuff today. And then I have the winner of the Nimble Photographer t-shirt, and more goodies for you. So let's get started with the workshop season. So 2014 is looking very good. I really like the way it's shaping up. And, you know, thanks to everyone who helped me shape this workshop season. I talk to attendees when they join me for workshops and members of our virtual camera club and run ideas by them. And their feedback really helps me sort of sort out what I think the best offering will be, you know, for our entire audience. So I'm going to just list off the five that I have on the books right now, and then I'll give you a little detail about them. So the first one, which will be in February, is High School Senior Portraits Inside and Out. And then in March, we're going to do Fine Art Photography. In May, San Francisco Street Photography. In August, the Sonoma Coast Workshop. And in October, Fall Color with Safari West. So those are our cornerstone events. I will probably add a few intermediate workshops in there. And depending on what happens with aperture, I may add a few aperture workshops in there. But right now, these are the five, you know, that I'm going to go with. These are the posts for our fence for the 2014 season. Now, High School Senior Portraits, I'm doing that in February for a very important reason, which is if you're thinking about adding high school portraits to your freelance offering, then you need to be ready to go pretty early in the year, because a lot of times those are shot in March and April. You know, the school year for a lot of schools, a lot of high schools, actually ends in late May or very early June. And the yearbooks go to press about 6 weeks before that. And so, you know, a lot of the photography is actually happening in the spring for the summer offering. So that's why we're getting high school senior portraits in there early. We're going to talk about photographing teenagers, men and women, young men and young women, but also a little bit about how to go about the business side of it, how to promote yourself, post-production techniques. I mean, it's the whole thing. So if you're looking at adding a business component to what you're doing right now, then we'll cover all aspects of that. So after the workshop is over, not only will you have model-released shots that you can use as samples to show prospective clients, you'll be ready to go just in general, just in a business sense. So that will start out in February, and that will be $495 for that workshop. That includes all the goodies, you know, lunches, swag, the whole deal, the models, all that's included. Then in March, I'm going to do fine art photography, and this one, also, I'm very excited about this one. It's a two-day workshop. We're going to focus on HDR. And on the second day, we're going to focus on black and white. And then we're also going to do printing in this workshop. Now, the way that I want to work it is that, like, for instance, with HDR, I want to expose you to some of the different tools that are used for HDR processing. And a lot of them, there are, you know, free downloads, trial versions, so that we can actually test them out. And I'll be looking mainly at plugins for Lightroom and Aperture, but almost all of them have standalone versions also. So we'll be doing the post-processing, but we'll also be working with, while you're in the field, things to keep in mind while you're capturing content that you're going to process for HDR later. So it's going to be on both sides of the equation, both at capture and processing. Then on the second day, same thing for black and white. We'll be taking pictures, and then we'll be talking about how to process them to really get that great black and white look. And then we'll also be printing. So when you go home from this workshop, you will actually have tangible evidence of what you've learned, of what you practiced. And that tangible evidence is going to look very good. So that is in March, HDR the first day, black and white the second day. And that is also $495. And that includes all the goodies that I normally include in a workshop. And we will have one model shoot in that fine art photography workshop. Then in May, we're going to do something brand new. And I've wanted to do this workshop for a long time. This is San Francisco street photography. I have wanted to do this for so long and have been searching for ways to pull it off because, as you know, anyone who's ever attended one of my workshops, I like them to be very high value. I like to keep the out-of-pocket costs down and then deliver a lot for what you do spend. And I hadn't been able to make the San Francisco street photography workshop quite fit into the formula. But I think I have found a way, and we're going to go for it in May. And this is going to be fun, especially for those of you that come from out of town, from far away. You'll be able to just fly into San Francisco Airport. You won't have to rent a car. I'm going to work it so that there'll be shuttles to where you're going to stay. You'll have your choice of hotels. And that we're just going to literally work the streets during the whole workshop. And it's going to be a blast. We're going to do some night photography. We're going to do some street shooting. We'll definitely do a model shoot on location. All this kind of stuff. We will have a workroom. We will be able to do lab processing and sharing. And we're going to eat some really great food, which is a big part of San Francisco. So that is going to be in May, and I'm just super looking forward to it. And I found a way to pull that off for $595. And remember, you won't have to rent a car, so you're going to save even more money. And I'm going to get some really great deals on 3- and 4-star hotels. So that's a blast. San Francisco street shooting in May. And then in August, we're going to start with one of our two premier flagship workshops. We'll do Sonoma Coast in August. And that's where we work out of the Bodega Bay Lodge in Bodega Bay. And then I also set up a field camp at Doran Beach. It is probably our most popular workshop. It's the one that seems to sell out fastest every year, and it's just amazing. We do environmental portraiture on one day, and then the second day, we have some great spots on the Sonoma coast that we visit, and we're working in the field. The chart room there at Bodega Bay Lodge, which is our headquarters, is just a wonderful place to do our lab work and our classroom instruction and sharing our photos. The accommodations are fantastic. The food is good. And you're on the Sonoma coast. And really, literally, the thing about this, I think, that jumps out at me more than anything is just the way people look after they've been in the environment for a day or so. They just feel good. And I have had so many times people tell me, I'm just not ready to go home yet. And I don't blame them. So the Sonoma Coast Workshop is in August. And then in October, we're doing our other premier workshop, our other flagship workshop, which is Fall Color with Safari West. Oh, by the way, Sonoma Coast is $550. And that, you know, that includes, you know, the having the chart room there at Bodega Bay Lodge and your lunches. So it's really wonderful. The Doran Beach campsite, all of that stuff's included. And then in October, we're doing the Fall Color with Safari West. We just came off that one. That is a workshop that I have done four times now. It's been a sellout every time. And it's been, the enthusiasm has been tremendous every time. We start out with a portrait shoot and some portrait instruction. Then we do a late afternoon a safari at Safari West with African animals, a variety of African animals that are in a very natural setting. And the animals are not tagged. We have our own photographer, tour guide, Adrian, who is amazing. We have our own truck. Everything is designed specifically for us. This is not an out-of-the-can, safari at all. And he is in no hurry. And the thing I love about Adrian, it really jumped out at me on this last shoot that we did. Unlike when you have a regular tour, if he feels like something is going to happen, let's say we're parked in the area where the zebras are hanging out. If he feels like something's going to happen, he parks it there and we hang out and we wait. And almost every time he does that, something happens and we get some tremendous shots. And that's the thing that I really like about our tour compared to other things. We are there as photographers with a photographer who's also a naturalist. And it's just a winning combination. And the photographs that come out of that workshop are wonderful. And then that's not even all of it. Then the next day, we go out and we shoot Fall Color in the vineyards and the hills of Sonoma County. And what a wonderful way to start out the day, being out in that environment, shooting Fall Color. And then we have plenty of time for labs. We do sharing. It is just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And that will be in October. And that one is $595. And that includes the private tour led by Adrian with our own truck at Safari West. Really good stuff. So now you can find out about all of these workshops by just going to the TDS workshops page at thedigitalstory.com. You'll see it at the top of the page. It just says workshops. Just click on it. And you'll see the whole lineup. You'll see details. There is a send me info form there that has three fields. And one of them you don't even have to do. It's basically your name, your email address, and then there's a pop-up for the workshop that you're interested in. Choose that workshop. Just click submit. And then I get that. And that's all you've got to do to get on the reserve list. You're on the reserve list after that. And that means that you get first crack. You're at the head of the line that when it's time to send out the reservation forms with the final details, you get first chance at it before the general public, before anyone else. And the way that I work the reserve list is those that submit first are in the front of the line, and then it just goes, you know, right on down. So if you're interested in, if any of these sound tempting to you at all, I urge you to get on the reserve list. Hold your spot. There's no obligation. You can make your final decision later on when I send out the final itinerary. But it gives you the opportunity to go if you decide that that's something that you want to do. And so that is on the TDS workshops page. It's thedigitalstory.com/workshops. And there's a link in the top nav bar. So as you can tell by listening to me, I'm very excited about 2014 season. I can't wait to get going, starting with senior portraits in February, fine art photography in March, street photography in San Francisco in May, Sonoma Coast in August, and Fall Color in Safari West in October. This is your chance to get away from your daily life, from all the things that distract you from your photography, to hang out with other people who feel the same way as you, to share techniques and stories, and to really think about nothing but letting me take care of you and enjoying your photography for a couple days. It is a treat, and I hope you can join me in the 2014 season. All right, story number two, the Nimbelocity Report. So I'm going to talk about the Canon PowerShot G16. Canon just released that about a month or so ago. And, you know, the G series has been around for a long time. I cut my teeth, my digital photography teeth, on the G1 and the G2. I still have both of those cameras. I got the G9 a number of years later, and I still have the G9. In fact, I'm holding it right now in my hands here. And it's just a beautiful camera. This is the way I came into digital photography, is with these cameras. And it was a nice entry. And I got good shots, and I enjoyed using the tools. And they're small, and they're not too heavy. They look good. I mean, they're just everything that you want in a cool semi-compact camera. So now we're up to the 16th model, the G16. And I want to talk about it a bit compared to, I'm going to compare it to one of its competitors, the Fujifilm X20. There are other competitors too, but we'll pick the X20 today. And I want to ask the question while we're looking at this, as storied of a history as the G series has it run its course? Have these cameras, you know, run out of gas compared to what's going on? So let's take a look at the G16 and try to answer that question. So now, compared to the X20, they both weigh about the same. In terms of dimensions, the G16 is slightly shorter and slightly less wide. I don't know. I couldn't come up with the right word there. but virtually they're about the same, and they weigh almost exactly the same. The X20, the Fujifilm X20, which is a camera, as you know, I like a lot. It does have the edge in image sharpness, and I actually went on to DP Review, and I downloaded the test images that they do from the two cameras, and I compared them at both mild resolution, and I blew them up and looked at them closely. And the X20 definitely has an edge to me in image sharpness and also in color. I like the color rendition better on the X20. And in part, that could be because the X20 has a larger sensor than the G16. It's about 40% larger. So that absolutely helps. Also, the X20 has a better autofocusing speed, has both contrast detection and face detection autofocus, and it has a little faster burst mode. So in a lot of those core areas, you know, image sharpness, sensor size, autofocusing speed, the X20 does have an edge. But, you know, what was interesting, when I really got into the specs on the G16, clearly it's no slouch. And in fact, it had better specifications for the LCD monitor. It was slightly bigger, and it had more dots. It has 240 frames per second video recording. And I think overall, the G16 is a better camera for making movies than the X20. It has longer battery life, probably about a third longer battery life than the X20. Plus, the G16 now includes built-in Wi-Fi, and it costs about $50 less than the X20. So there's a lot going for this camera. You know, it's funny. You know, this line has been around forever, and, you know, they don't get a whole lot of attention when a new one is introduced. I know the G16 didn't get a lot of fanfare, and most people saw it as, you know, a minor update to the G15. The Wi-Fi certainly is a very nice update. The latest processing engine, I think, is also noteworthy on it. So is it a worthy competitor when you compare, even though it has the smaller sensor, and even though in some of the areas such as image sharpness, it doesn't perform quite as well. This is, we get into this. There's a difference between doesn't perform quite as well and not good. Doesn't perform quite as well. That's compared to something else. But in general, it's very good, right? And the image quality on the G16 is quite good. So after thinking about it, after looking at the specs, after getting my hands on a test camera, I didn't get to run away with it. I have to come to the conclusion that the G series still has legs. It still has legs. It just depends on what you're looking for. People that I think the G16 is a good camera for, people who like Canon already, I think that's definitely a nice fit because the interface, the menu, the controls, they feel very comfortable if you're a Canon shooter. I think it's an easy to use camera. I think that if you like to shoot videos, it's an excellent camera. And I still think that it performs quite well, and it does capture RAW, as does the X20. So this is a very, very nimble camera. This has a high nimbleosity rating. I would recommend it. I would recommend it to a lot of people. I would tend to recommend the X20 probably more to people in our audience here who are serious enthusiasts who will leverage some of the things that the X20 offers in the menu system, the film simulations and things like that. But for someone that wanted a good travel camera, wanted great pictures on vacation, wanted to capture some movies, wanted a nice interface, this is and who occasionally shoots RAW, the G16 is a great camera. So high nimbleosity rating on the G16. The G series lives. And, I think Canon should just keep going with this, and we'll see what happens with the G17 and on and on and on. So that is my conclusion, and I really gave these two cameras a hard look. And I have to say, I was going into this ready to pronounce the G-Series dead, did my homework, and I have to say, G-Series lives. Okay, next, story number 3 from Photo Help Desk. Which of the new MacBook Pros are best for photographers? And, this comes up because brand new MacBook Pros are out there, right? Apple did its announcement last week, and we have now a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. So we have both 13-inch and 15-inch models, both with Retina display, which that right there is very important for photographers because of the pixel density. They just render images so much nicer than non-Retina displays or non-HD displays. So both of them have that great display. But there are a lot of differences between the 13-inch and the 15-inch models. And people are asking me, which one should I get? I'm a photographer, which one should I get? So I sort of boiled it down to three primary things right here, three primary considerations between the 15-inch and the 13-inch models. First, and I think this has to be at the top of the list for most of us, is budget. So the 13-inch runs are three basic configurations for it. And it runs from $1,299 to $1,799. Now the 15-inch has two basic configurations, and it runs from $1,999 to $2,599. So that's quite a span. $1,299 on the low end, $2,599 on the high end. So you can almost get two of the low end 13-inch MacBook Pros for the price of the high end 15-inch. So you've got to look at where do you fall between $1,300 and $2,600. And that doesn't include doing a RAM upgrade or doing a storage upgrade either. So, and that might be something that would push those prices up a bit more. So that's one thing definitely at the top of all of our lists to consider. Next and second is portability. So which laptop fits in your ideal carrying solution? And this is also an important factor. It seems very common sense, but what bag do you want to carry it in? What when you're looking at your ideal setup, your nimble photographer setup that includes a laptop, you know, which bag do you want to use and which computer will fit best in it? And this is something to really be comfortable with. You're making a sizable investment here, and I think you really want a computer that is going to fit all of your needs, you know, best that it can. No one, as we know, no one device meets everything. But I think after you solve the budget problem and you look at portability, then I think you're in pretty good shape. You're able to narrow the field. And then that gets us down to, I think, a third consideration that I think is pretty important, which is which applications do you use with it? Now, the reason why I bring this up, it's really related to the graphics card. So in the 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, they have the Intel Iris graphics card, which is a good graphics card. And if you're using Lightroom, which doesn't tap the graphics card, the GPU, doesn't use the GPU, doesn't have GPU acceleration, then actually you could go with a beefy CPU 13-inch and be in pretty good shape. If Lightroom is your primary application, then you can get by with that. And you'll have a very good Lightroom experience. Remember, you've got lots of things working for you. You've got solid state memory. You have updated processing throughout the whole device. You have fast RAM. You know, you've got all these things that will work fantastic for you. So if you're a Lightroom shooter or Lightroom post-processor, I should say, then I think the Intel Iris graphics will work fine for you. Now, if you're a heavy Photoshop user or you use Aperture, both of those have GPU acceleration. So they will tap the graphics card. And in that case, you might want to look at the more expensive 15-inch model. Now, the stock 15-inch, I think the one that sells for $19.99, has the Iris Pro graphics card. And then the top-of-the-line one, the one for $2,599, includes both Iris Pro graphics. I'm not going to say that anymore. You know which card I'm talking about. And the NVIDIA GeForce GT750M graphics card with auto switching. And so what the top of the line 15-inch can do is that when the computer realizes that you're using heavy GPU, but you're really hitting the graphics card, it'll switch over to the NVIDIA card and give you really excellent performance. Really excellent. And this is important in video editing. So if video editing is part of your gig, if you're a DSLR, not only still shooter, but video shooter, video editing, Photoshop, and Aperture can really take advantage of this scenario. Now, you're going to pay more for it, but you're also going to have, you know, increased efficiency in your workflow. So those are the three things that I would really take a look at. And then beyond that, take a look at how much RAM you can afford. They come with 8 gigabytes, which I think is fine. I have 8 gigabytes on my 15-inch Retina display now, and I haven't had a problem at all with RAM. But also look at flash storage too. And one thing I will say, I have the 256 gigabyte drive, and I wish I had the 512 drive, because even though I use Thunderbolt external drive storage, it would be nice just to have that extra storage with me when I'm on the road and I'm not, you know, dragging a Drobo around. So that you know, and that will cost you to upgrade from the 256 to 512 for the internal flash storage. I think that cost $300 to go from 8 gigabytes to 16 gigabytes for your RAM. That's $200. So, you know, potentially you could be adding another $500 onto this. It adds up quickly and it's very painful. But by the same token, I have to say that I change laptops, I think, frequently, and I get an easy 3 years out of these machines before I really feel like I need to change. And a lot of people in my workshops are getting 4 years out of there. So it's an investment that you can spread over that period of time. And the enjoyment and the efficiency that you have with the right laptop, I think makes that 4 years, all the better. So it hurts when it first hits the credit card, but do take these things into consideration. Overall, I think for most of us in our audience, I do think unless the portability issue is an important one for you, that the 15-inch is a better work machine. The 13-inch is probably a very good travel machine. And the Retina display, you get it no matter what. So take a look at these variables. And, if you want, let me know what you come out with on Photo Help Desk. We have two threads going on this. And so you can comment on either thread or you can comment on our Facebook page where it's also posted. And I just want to remind you that, these stories come out of, two sites where, we mine this stuff and where we discuss it and research it. So photohelpdesk.com, photohelpdesk.com. And then the Nimble Photographer website is thenimblephotographer.com. Both of them. There are links to both of them on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you haven't gone over to them or if you don't visit them, at least once a week or so, I encourage you to do so because we've got lots of stuff going on there. What you get in the podcast is just a fraction of what's going on each of the individual sites. All right, let's take care of a little bit of Virtual Camera Club business. First of all, Chuck Jones is the winner of our Nimble Photographer T-shirt giveaway. And he wrote, I asked last week, let us know what your favorite item is in the store. And then also if you want something that you'd like to see in the store. And Chuck wrote, and I quote, "I think my favorite item in the store is the cap. All the items look great, but I wear caps all the time. And this one has a classic look to it." Yes, it does. And it's very comfortable, too, in addition to having a good look. So thanks so much, Chuck, for your feedback. I'll be sending you an email to get your shipping address, and I'll get that T-shirt off to you. Congratulations, and thanks for participating. And we'll be doing this regularly, so stay tuned. Listen, and maybe you can get in on the next T-shirt giveaway. And then also I want to mention that I have new ad tiles on the Digital Story. We try to refresh them every now and then. And you'll notice that there's a new Amazon. This is in the second column. There's a new Amazon tile, and it sort of lists some camera deals that are going on. And then at the bottom of that list, it has the Amazon logo. And if you just click on that, it takes you to the Amazon page. And then we have a new B&H tile also, and it also lists some deals and will take you to B&H. If you know you're going to buy something from one of these two outfitters, if you just go to the Digital Story first, click on one of those two tiles in the second column that takes you over to either Amazon or B&H. I get affiliate credit for that, and that really, helps us support the show. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for us. I think that's enough for 1 week, don't you? And the funny thing is, I've got a lot more. So make sure you come back next week. I have some new stories for you. I'm working on some pretty cool stuff. Go over to the workshops page. Take a look at what's going on next year. Hopefully, I'll see you at one of the workshops. And of course, visit Photo Help Desk and the Nimble Photographer. Don't forget about the cool store and the Nimble Photographer. And I've got some new stuff coming into the store. I might be able to announce it at next week's podcast. So anyway, come back. I'll keep you entertained for half an hour or so. And in the meantime, take some shots. I'll see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.